There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order. Attention.
The government is the problem.
It's an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch, Jones,
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Yes. It's Monday. Isn't it Monday? Wow, I can hear myself in these headphones. This is nice. We are back at the Batcave. It is Monday, August 9, 2010. August 9th, 2010. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We are racing to get everything up and running on the air. As usual, we have the typical gremlins in the system. But greetings and thank you for tuning in. Thank you for scanning in. Thank you for turning your CB on. However it is you're listening to this. Well, this is a ministry. This is my ministry. It's a ministry of our family, of the church, the people that help out. It's not just me. I am standing on the shoulders of others. This is a good example of I'm the point man, so I get all the grief and the praise. But this is an effort put together by at least a couple handfuls of people. We're here to bring to you from our little corner of California, what I call the belly button of California, right here in the middle, in Tulare County, a little place called Kaweah. K-A-W-E-A-H, Kaweah, California. And not everything I say is necessarily the views of the church at Kaweah, the pastor, its parishioners, the lady who used to clean the church. We had to let our fix your headphones. They're driving me nuts. Put them even on your ears. Thank you. Just because times are getting bad, can't even afford a church janitor anymore. So everybody's got to pick up after themselves. But what we do is we bring you the Christian militant worldview. And I say that because it's supposed to be in that order. It should be a Christian first, a militant second. Sometimes I may slip up and say militant Christian because it's a little easier to say that way. But it is the Christian militant worldview. And we do this by way of the web. That's how we send it out, and then other people take it and put it out all over the place. Downloading it seems to be the most popular. Welcome to my pod, people. I'm trying to get into the room now. I don't know who's all listening, so it'll give me a second here, and I apologize if it starts to blast. Let me pause that. It's trying to load as I speak. We came back over the weekend. We were on the road. We missed Thursday. Those of you that listened to a Friday show, I got a lot of good comments on the Friday show, talking about guard mount procedures and discipline and SOPs and some real rubber meets the road type stuff. And some people say, well, that wasn't very Christian-like of you to be discussing those things. Well, I'm here to tell you, Bubba or Leroy, whichever one you are, that everything we do must be spiritual in nature. Here it's going to yell at me now. Let me turn this off. Man, I always tell it to mute, and then it doesn't, and then it goes off mute, and then it comes back out. Wow, there's quite a few people in there. In the chat room, welcome chatties, welcome pod people. I think the pod people are the real backbone. Those are the people that we don't get to meet on a regular basis, but I do get your emails and I appreciate it. Hello Warlin. Hello, let's see, Olima's in there, of course, our archivist. Minuteman's in there, a couple weirdos named Dutch Jones in there, two of them. I'm the one without the asterisk, is that what I am? Mm-hmm. Okay, and then, of course, we have a couple guesties. Thank you, guesties, for tuning in. You can register if you want to chat. Do I sound like National Public Radio today? I'm feeling kind of mellow. Feeling really mellow. I've been working on gear. Buzz, buzz, buzz. I'm speaking closely into the mic. Do you like how that sounds? Today on Dutch Considers His Navel. I'm just being a little mellow today, taking it easy. Worked on gear today. Found some deficiencies in a brand new piece of gear, this fanny pack that we got. Stacy and I each got one. One of the snaps pulled right out. Just pulled right out. Started to come off my web gear. Kind of sad. Brand new stuff. I can't remember. I'll have to ask her where we got it from. You're giving me the keys now in the middle of the show? Thanks, Lou. It's good to keep up. Scotty38's tuning in, so welcome to our friends listening in New York on CB, Citizens Band Radio, channel number 2, unless you've changed the frequency. I wonder why you picked number 2. Number 2. Number 2. Number 2. Instead of number 9. But, yeah, I've been doing that. We were trying to get... We got our phone turned on in the other structure. But then the guy said, I don't think you can get DSL in here. I said, why? And he said, because your brother-in-law doesn't work for AT&T. And I go, what? And he says, the only people up here who got DSL know somebody who works there, and they made exceptions for him. So I'm about to raise a big stink with, big brother Bill. Guy. Yeah, I figure if I take him out to lunch, that's kind of what I was getting at, that if I grease a palm, I'll get it. But we're going to go ahead and order the modem anyway when we get the money. We need to come up with the money. But we got the phone turned on. So once we get set up over there, you can call over there, and it'll be live. We don't know if dial-up will be fast enough. I don't think we can do the show on dial-up. I don't think it'll... be good. Warland, you're deviant and you need to go to sleep. But we got the phone on. Lou actually called it, made it ring, and then he called from it. So we actually know our phone number. We're not going to give it out yet. It's right next to my bed, and I don't need people in Iceland listening to the replay going, yeah, Dutch, we like you very much.
That'll be Austrian.
Yeah, everyone talks like this in Europe or in the North Atlantic. It's just my generic white foreigner name, sound. Yeah, da, ya, whatever. It made me forget what I was going to say. There was something funny that I was going to bring in. I can't remember what it was now. So we're fighting with them to get DSL, or maybe we wanted to just move the satellite dish over, and they wanted $100 just to move the satellite dish. We're like, uphill battle. Uphill battle. See what we go through to bring you the daily message of Christian militancy. Got a lot of emails over the weekend, a lot of people listening to the replays. I made a comment, I think it was Friday, had to be Friday, that's the show that's running right now, and said that doctors take a Hippocratic Oath and they have to treat you, and somebody said they don't do that anymore. And I need you guys to, if you guys know any doctors, I don't know any doctors, and I'm not, I tried cold calling a few doctors, they don't want to talk about it. Is there no Hippocratic Oath? Do you not have to treat somebody? But we had a neighbor up here who has got an ongoing illness, a chronic illness, and they took him to the emergency room, I think it was Saturday, and he was in dire need, dehydrated, malnourished, that kind of stuff, and having problems, just general problems. Went to the emergency room, and of course it was packed with non-English speaking folks, a bunch of Lithuanians, I think. Well, you do the math. And they were told to wait in the lobby, and the triage nurse would see him. And there's kids in there with sniffles, cuts and bruises, the way they overload the emergency room, with non-important things. So I got a call from him. And those of you that don't know, I used to work as an EMT, and I did some time in an emergency room doing triage and minor assisting stuff. I was just an EMT one, I got to, do a few things, run some IVs, things like that. But here's a little trick for you. You want to move to the front of the line and get around all these invaders? Tell them if, you're with a loved one who needs help, say two things. Then you got to figure out how to say this so they know you're not scamming them because they're scamming you because they're being scammed. You say, oh man, he passed out again. He keeps losing consciousness. Loss of consciousness gets people right to the front of the line.
It doesn't work if you're the only one.
If you're the only one and you passed out, oh, I'm passing out again. When you fake it, they can tell. I'm losing consciousness again. Yeah, Lou, that won't work. But if you're bringing a loved one in, just tell them, hey, you don't go, his LOC, but, and then the other thing you can do is say he's disoriented. He doesn't know where he's at. He's completely, he's scared, he's having altered moods, stuff like that, because then they'll think there's some, these are usually indicators of like a major illness, a major calamity about to happen, and the first thing they go, oh, lawsuit, we got to move to the front of the line. And so that's a little trick. So they called, I told them that, and they were immediately admitted, and they found out this person was in pretty serious danger, but because of the overloading of the healthcare system, he wasn't allowed to, at first get the due treatment that he required. And it just gave me an idea. It was just a little picture into what Obamacare is going to be like. Just overloaded. Everybody's going to be in there for, somebody's got a sliver under their pinky, they're going to go in. Because that's the way it is. You put a trough out, it's like throwing bird seed out. The birds are going to show up.
Your eyes hurting.
Yeah, my eyes hurting. Warland says he never knows where he's at. Well, then you just get a t-shirt that says that. I have altered levels of consciousness and I'm confused. Please help me. give me money, take me to the emergency room. So that's what you do. You just tell people, yeah, on the way over here, he kept passing, going in and out of consciousness. He passed out, you know, those kind of things. You know, I think he hit his head. You don't have to lie, but you can exacerbate the system a little, you know, the injuries, not exacerbate, exaggerate the injuries a little to get the treatment for your loved one. Because, hey, we're at war, folks. You know, it's not sinful to get your daughter in there under the front of the line when you've got a bunch of guys that are in there just because they got the flu or something. And who wants to linger in that lobby anyway with these fleshy meat tubes of disease and stuff? You know, who knows what they're in there? Skin tubes, as Lou says. I'm going to try to get to my stories here. I'm gonna push this button and see what happens. Hopefully, nope, that didn't do it. That didn't. Oh, here, let's see. We'll go to it. One story that I got over the weekend, And because I have a personal tie to it, because it took place at Fort AP Hill, Virginia, where it was my last TDY duty station. Oh, now I got to type in my. I didn't remember who I is, who I was, who I shall be. Let's see, I got to click on it. But every year they have the like gigantic Boy Scout Jamboree at Fort AP Hill, Virginia. Been doing it since the 80s when I was there. Every once in a while you hear something terrible. Someone dropped dead from heat exhaustion. Sometimes they get struck by lightning and such. But one good story. Remember when Obongo was on The View? Well, he was double booked. He was supposed to go on to the Boy Scout Jamboree, which is what happens every single year. They show up, and the president congratulates them for being good little patriots and all that kind of stuff. This time he sent a pre-recorded message, and they played it on the big screen. And something happened for the first time in the 100-year history of the Boy Scouts. I think it was 1909. Maybe wrong. If you're a scout, let me know. They booed the president, and it's on YouTube. If you go to YouTube, just type in Boy Scouts boo president. It's awesome. I'm not going to play it here because it'll take up too much bandwidthy. Welcome, Annie Oakley. Thank you for listening. I just got IM'd. Annie Oakley is listening.
From beyond the grave.
Wasn't she? She's listened before, hasn't she? Annie Oakley. I remember that name in there.
From beyond the grave.
Beyond the grave. No, not the Annie Oakley, Lou. Although that would be kind of creepy, wouldn't it? Having a Wild West pistolero on here that's been dead for years. But when somebody commented, you have to really, really suck bad to have the Boy Scouts boo you. And then we got into this other discussion. Somebody said, well, isn't it true the Boy Scouts let, you know, homosexuals in? Now they have to? No, they don't, actually. I did some research on that. And because they're not allowing sodomites into the Boy Scouts, they're paying a heavy price. They've been banned from using a lot of public facilities. Their rents have been raised where they are. And all kinds of stuff. And let me see here if I can find it. I can't play it, but the audio is pretty funny. One of the last things you hear on the video is this kid saying, I hope he sees this. Because, you know, they want Obongo to know that they're not pleased with him anymore at all. But they've paid a price for it. The one thing I didn't like, though, is they used to be a Christian organization. Now they're kind of like AA, whatever God you believe in. They won't let atheists in or agnostics, but they will let Wiccans, pagans, Jews, Muslims, Zoroastrianism. I went down the list, you know, pretty much A to Z. And I was surprised at that. They say that the founder wrote that you cannot have a healthy fear and love of God and be a scout. Well, it's been perverted. So I guess, you know, they may not have been too twisted around on the sodomite question. They still don't let them in overtly. But we all know, you know, those are the kind of things that sodomite vicious predators are attracted to, the child molesters. You know, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, Little League Baseball, that kind of thing.
Maybe that's why he pre-reported it. It's Obongo's a fag.
Because what? Obongo's a fag and he didn't want to... Yeah, Obongo couldn't go there because he was mad that he was a fag and he didn't want anything to do with him. He didn't want to appear in front of him. Which would have been funny because they do a great big Pledge of Allegiance thing and he would have done the hands behind the back or the crotch salute that he does. He doesn't cover his heart. Now, in fairness, I don't pledge allegiance to the flag anymore either. I haven't since Waco. Caused a lot of problems if I go to baseball games and stuff, but I refuse to do it. Just because that flag no longer stands. That's the corporate flag. Even if it's not the Admiralty flag, it still stands for murder and butchery of American citizens. But he doesn't do it for a specific reason. Another thing that I found out, yeah, going off on a tangent here, remember when he misspoke and said that there were 57 United States?
I think one left to go.
And one left to go. There are 57 Islamic states. Did you know that? 57 nations that are Islamic, predominantly Islamic, and one left to go, that would be America. I think he had a Freudian slip of the tongue when he did that, since we're talking about things that Obongo has said and done. And this is just stuff I picked up on reading on the internet, and he continues to do it. And now, one little thing is, it looks like, what's her name, Michelle Obongo, is turning into a Nancy Reagan. People are getting mad about the expenditure she's making. And she's starting. Look at the way she dresses. Not that I care too much about how people dress, but when you represent our country, you shouldn't look like a chorus girl, you know, or an extra from a Tarzan movie. The way she's representing this nation is just terrible, terrible. And she's going out spending tons of your money. Found out a couple other things. They don't have law licenses.
I have that sound clip.
Which one do you have?
I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go.
Yeah, people tell you he didn't say that. I guess that was me doing an impersonation right there. Was that Rich Little?
This is Barack.
Yeah, that is Barack. So that was pretty good. You know, if she's starting to get some taking a beating from the press, but I still think it's all part of the master plan. I think what they want to do is they're setting somebody up even worse to become president by making him do so bad. Well, you know, they'll give us anything. It's kind of like when the pretty girls stand next to the ugly girl at the dance, the high school dance. They're hoping to make themselves look better by seeing. Yeah, I mean, how much? I mean, president, you know, a non-violent president. I'm not saying that Obongo is not violent, but he hasn't actually rounded us up yet. So since Lincoln, we haven't had this bad of a president, except for maybe Jimmy Carter, who just ruined everything. Anybody could get. I could run and get elected if I ran against this guy, I think, except for my background and things I've done and said on the internet would come up, and you know, nobody would vote for me. They'd be like, I can't vote for him. He's too harsh. He prays. But it's interesting. Other things in the news that I've been watching: North Korea fired rounds into South Korean, what would not airspace? I guess it would sea territory. They fired several rounds into South Korea, North Korea did, and said that they're doing this in retaliation for the United States and South Korea doing joint naval operations over there, and they say they're going to do all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's another Gulf of Tonkin type thing. They're just waiting for the media to grab it and run with it, and the proper places to be, pieces to be in place, rather, the proper pieces in the right place. Could be. You know, I don't know if this time next year will be a war with North Korea, too. People are losing interest in Iraq, starting to get a little frustrated with Afghanistan. And maybe they're like, well, maybe the Muslim thing isn't working out. Let's go after some slant-eyed people again. That always seemed to work. Got us out of the Great Depression. It's weird. We've got two wars going on now that we know about, and then there's all these little wars going all over, and we haven't had a war dividend. I was thinking about it. Not, you don't see all the women going to work in the factories making tanks. You don't see buy war bond stuff everywhere. You're not seeing rubber. You know, and granted, I know this isn't a world war. I'm not that naive. But it's like we screwed our economy up so much we can't even benefit from it. And that's because the corporations have gotten so good at skimming and making sure that they are the only ones that benefit. Interesting. And it hit me today. It's like, where's all this, you know, they're destroying stuff over there every day. Who's rebuilding it and who's making the money? It's not you and me. They've outsourced all of our jobs. Everything's contractor oriented. That goes back to ex-government stooges, you know, that are running these contractor companies, Halliburton and all that kind of stuff. It's funny. It's like I didn't even think about it. It's like, yeah, we should have a great economy when we're at war. What's going on? Well, they need to make it a good old-fashioned war. World war. Right now, these things, you know, 150,000 men in Iraq, yeah, that's pretty good. But what, wasn't Normandy like a 150,000-man invasion with all the joint task force and everything? That was just one battle, one front. They need a good old-fashioned humdinger war to end all wars. And if we can lure China or Russia into it, why not? They're getting edgy. The economy may be out of their control. I don't know enough about the way economies work, but it's kind of funny. They can't even manipulate unemployment enough. They said that if we didn't do this stimulus package, unemployment was going to reach 9%. So we, you know, everybody, all the liberals up there and moderate mushies and went, oh, okay, we'll give you the money. Go ahead. And now unemployment hasn't dropped below 9% in months. I still think they're moving us towards something. I don't know if this is going to be the Gulf of Tonkin Part 2. You know, Vietnam wasn't enough. Even China got mad at them. North Korea kidnapped like 8 or 9 fishermen, and 2 of them were Chinese. And the Chinese went, hey, wait a minute there, little buddy. Little son, little grasshopper, do not be taking our fishermen. I don't know if they returned them or not, but I found that was pretty weird. So they've been firing artillery rounds near sea border. What exactly that means. They have a disputed chunk of sea, and Japan and China also probably lay claim to it. But interesting that that's going on. Let's see. I'm getting a lot of email on the pork launchers for mosques. And guess what? People are calling me from across the country saying, well, they're going to do it in their town to existing mosques. I don't have any problem with that. I guess Kentucky, is it Kentucky? That happened. They're putting a mosque somewhere in Kentucky, and they didn't want it there. And then a mosque over in Germany was taken and shut down by the German police. They're saying that they were involved in 9/11. Well, a little late, isn't it? And also, why shut something like that down? If they were really about a war on terror, wouldn't they sneak in and bug the heck out of this place? Wouldn't they put infiltrators in there? Why shut it down and scatter them? That's like saying, I'm here to kill cockroaches, and you just turn on the lights and start banging on stuff so they all flee. This could have been like a roach hotel for terrorists. Kind of weird. And to me, it just seems like a false flag thing that they would shut it down and point fingers at it to keep us away from the mosque that they're really using to, Lord knows what they're going to do to us. The flyers are in. They're in PDF form at thechurch@kawia.org. You spell that all out. The church, the letters A-T, Kawia, K-A-W-E-A-H, .org, and you go to where it says 15th Annual Conference, you click on it, and then there's a place where you can download the flyer. Now, I was asked by the party committee, by the conference committee, that even if you fill it out and send it in, if you don't accompany the $50, there is not a place for you. The first 200 people or so are going to be allowed into the chapel. You'll be given a special ID. There will be security. Trust me, there's going to be security this year. And the overflow will go into the, what is it called, the worship hall? I always call it the chow hall. It's where we eat and do training and everything. And there'll be a big screen TV with audio in there, and Lou will be miming what's going on in the, you know, for your entertainment. Right, Lou?
No.
No miming this year? Yeah, I thought it was a big hit last year. Too many people died last year when you did the miming? Yeah, you're probably right. And we're going to cap it at 275 people. So unless you send in the $50 registration fee, which is good for one person or for 5 or 6, save some money, get together. That $50 is to make sure you get here. What's happened in the past few years, we get all these ne'er-do-wells. Oh, yeah, we're going to be there. I had 30 people last year from my radio show that said they were going to show up, convinced me they were going to show up, called me the week before. One of them had like a death in the family. That's cool. I understand that. 2 people showed up, made me look like an idiot. Because I said, oh, we got to have these reservations. These are my people. These are my listeners. Made me look like a fool.
Come up like every month.
Yeah, and those 2 people come back like every month, every other month, too. So they're really cool. But the rest of you guys really let me down. Not the guy who had a death in the family. Not you. I won't say your name, but you're okay. You had an excused absence. But this year, if you're coming, man, you better be here. Look at that flyer. Do we even have one in here? Do you take it out? We should have one in here. Chuck Baldwin, we're going to need one. Well, I'll just go online and look at it. I can't read it sideways, though. He scanned it sideways. So you're going to have to print it out, fill it out.
That's the way it was done.
I know. Put $50 in there, and it talks about what Chuck Baldwin's going to talk about. And I could tell you all that stuff if I had a flyer, but I don't have a flyer. Go get a flyer next door. We're really close to the break. Go on the break. We can't emphasize enough. You need to come to this. Chuck Baldwin. We're still hoping that...
sounds like the cat wants you.
Cat has something to say. See my head. This is why I need the flyer. Who's the other guest? From South Africa.
John Weaver.
Peter Hammond. His wife, they just found out that she has like double breast cancer and is going to undergo a double mastectomy. If I said that right, I apologize. So we're praying for him and his family. We don't know if he's going to make it because, you know, I mean, it's October, but here we are almost in the middle of, we're in the first part of August is done. August, September, October, boom, there it is. We don't have a whole lot of time to get ready for this thing, and one of our main speakers is being attacked, his wife. So we're praying for his family. His kid just had like a kidney transplant and almost died last year. It's amazing when you're doing the Lord's work how these things happen, huh? anyway, be praying for them and the, you know, our conference. It's going to be great. It's going to, and I think next year it's going to be double the size. People are waking up. The sheepdogs are waking up. I don't want any sheep. If you're a sheep, don't come.
It's going to be the best conference ever.
It's going to be the best conference ever. And let me tell you something. If you're coming and you're a Dutch Jones listener, write it on your name tag. And I'll be wearing a name tag so you can find me, but I'm going to be busy. Lou's going to be running audio. I'm going to be videotaping. And but you can, you know, I'll give you the, hey, what's up? You know, but if it's during a presentation, I can't pay attention. I got to pay attention to who's speaking and make sure it gets videotaped. But please let us know. If you put it on your form, say you heard it from Dutch Jones. I'm trying to get a little pat on the back here. That's right. I want them to know that this ministry is doing something. I mean, the thousands of downloads of our sermons and stuff like that, and the shows, I mean, is proving it. But I want them to see some faces. I want the pastor to go, hey, maybe we should let him turn the lights on in the building at night up there, you know, when he's doing that. I don't know if I told you guys this Friday, we got attacked again in our bank account, so who's ever doing it, we'll just keep shutting the card down. It's just sad. Somebody keeps going in, they'll do like a dollar withdrawal, and once they see that's good, like 5 minutes later, they'll withdraw $300. And Stacy's on it. She checks it like every couple of hours now. It's the third time in like 9 months, maybe 6 months. So be praying for us when we're talking. When we come back, we're talking about more stories in the news. I got some more training stuff I want to talk to you about, and we'll get ready for our next training coming up for our meeting in the playground. We'll be back after the break. Tell the time is coming. You can sense it everywhere. You can see it in your faces. All around you see the signs. America is changing. Freedom's on the line. Will you be among the patriots? Will you stand among the brave? Will you heed the call? the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
New world
order.
Attention.
The government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Mercury boils under X-rays. Have a little discussion on the break about food with Obama the wannabe. I don't know who this is. Is that Batfag? He used to change his name a lot and do stuff like that. But whoever it is, welcome. Hollow point with a dab of mercury in the cavity sealed with wax. Yeah, that was in the movie Exterminator. I think I saw that. So we're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. No, it's not Batfag. I don't know who Obama the wannabe is. Has the same kind of sense of humor, though. We're back. I was talking a little bit about the conference. Lou ran the 17 miles down the hill to the cabin to pick up a conference flyer for us. And I have it in my little hands here. Not formally nicotine stained like the fat guy always says. Let's see. The name of this conference, the 15th annual Old Paths Christian History Conference, is Jesus Christ Has All Authority in Heaven and on Earth. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. That right there is seditious talk. That'll probably get us some feds coming up, but that's okay. We'll feed them too. And of course, the theme of these conferences is always Jeremiah 6:16, the verse that we use. Ask for the old paths, where's the good way, and walk therein. It's October 2nd and 3rd, 2010, here in Kauai. It says, at the foot of the sequoias. Yes, we are in the foothills. Now we're going to have Pastor Chuck Baldwin, missionary Peter Hammond, Pastor John Weaver, a Confederate pastor, Pastor Warren M. Campbell, our host pastor here, our house pastor. We used to have three, now we're down to one. One went to heaven. We miss you, Warren Lee, but we know you're in a much better place. One went to Lancaster, which was it Lancaster or Ridgecrest? Ridgecrest. And now we have the middle Campbell, Warren M. Campbell, with special music provided by the Cardia Trio. This is a family. The three kids are just amazing. I don't even know if I'm going to say this. It's like piano, violin, and flute or something. I don't know what they play, but it's beautiful. If you've seen any of the stuff, you'll know. Now, Chuck Baldwin is the founder and pastor of Crossroads Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. He is the host of the hard-hitting Chuck Baldwin Live Radio Talk Show. Pastor Chuck is also well known for his political commentaries and articles calling America and its leaders back to God. Now, yes, he is in a 501c3 church. We're working on that. But he's definitely speaking the truth more so than 98% of the rest of your pastors out there. Peter Hammond has been a missionary to restricted access areas for over 23 years. When I say restricted access, I mean where Muslims and communists control and try to kill him and kill people who listen to him. They've cut the tongues and out of people and ears off of people who have listened and spoken about Peter Hammond after he leaves. So these are real Christians out there putting their lives on the line to hear the word and to spread the word. And, you know, most of American Christians are, you know, they go for an hour a week and that's it, and they don't even bring it up. He has pioneered missionary outreaches into war zones of Mozambique, Angola, and Sudan. He is founder and director, and director of Frontline Fellowship, and the author of, amongst others, Faith Under Fire in Sudan, Holocaust in Rwanda, In the Killing Fields of Mozambique, Slavery, Terrorism, and Islam. Now, that slavery, terrorism, and Islam, among him going and converting Muslims in Africa, has earned him a fatwa against him. The mullahs in Africa want him dead. So we're going to have increased security for that to protect him. So it should be interesting. The guy's amazing. I mean, if he sees you coming, you're going to have a fight on your hands. That doesn't mean some scumbag can't sneak up on him, though. Now, John Weaver is from Fitzgerald, Georgia. He's a pastor who speaks across the country on theology, economics, history, constitutionalism, civil government, and practical Christian obedience. He's also, I'm not sure if he still is, but he was like the chaplain for League of the South. Very Confederate, very Southern man, very Southern gentleman man. Now, he's an expositor of God's entire word, like we are here. Pastor Weaver's preaching style is in the tradition of those early colonial patriot pastors whose pulpits were the cradle of American history. And, of course, my favorite, Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. He's pastor of our church here. He's director of the Kawia Research Center. Pastor Campbell's ministry includes a heavy emphasis on the church militant, which is why we're doing this ministry that we're doing here. Now, after his resurrection, Jesus Christ declared, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth." You can't debate that. The message to be delivered at this year's conference will reflect a full-orbed biblical world view. Join us for this weekend as we delve into the following subjects. Now, Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, is going to be our God, our country, considerations, and applications. He's going to give three teachings on that. Peter Hammond is going to do the roots of Islam. How do you defeat your enemy if you don't know where he came from? The challenge of Islam. He's going to talk about just the complete differences between us and what their goals are. And then the final one, which is going to be great, is going to be the Christian resistance to Islamic jihad. That's right. We're going to actually have someone speak at a church in America about what we need to do to stop Islamic jihad. And it's not going to be talking about handing out pamphlets, I can tell you that. Pastor Weaver, his theological revolutionary always precedes cultural revolution discussion. Theological revolution always precedes cultural revolution. Real change starts first in the hearts of men, the first jurisdiction, self-discipline, and then the churches are what leads the way. Study Knox, Calvin, Luther, the American Revolution. Swearing allegiance to the sovereign state. He's going to talk about that. Jack Hinson, Confederate sniper. He's going to do a great story on Jack Hinson, the story of him. Last year, I think it was last year or the year before, he did one on Bushwhack Johnston, which was just...
2 years ago.
Was that 2 years? What was last year's? Doctrine of Interposition was good. The lesser magistrate stepping in. And back by popular demand, there will be firearms demonstrations once again. The church that trains together stays together is our philosophy. The church that trains together also survives. We will not have an active shooter in our church. It's not going to happen. He may come in the door. She may decide to get out of her car in the parking lot and produce a weapon in an aggressive manner. But there will not be an active shooter on our property. It's physically impossible because we are prepared, trained, and ready. That's just period. And we like to teach Christians that come here. I love the look on their faces, especially newbies. People that are coming here from, you know, they just heard about the conference or something, and they're they're showing up and they're like, ooh, we're gonna go talk about how touchy-feely Christianity is and wait for the rapture. And then they're like, what? Because there's always about 10 to 20%. We even get a couple pacifists that come here that didn't read the flyer. Because flyers always say this kind of stuff. Weird. And they look like they're just their jaw's going to fall off. When, okay, for the next 2 hours, we'll be up in the shooting range with a shotgun and pistol entry tactics classroom. Please meet up there. Bring your lunches with you. Prepare for rain. You know, that kind of stuff. And they freak out. Now, once again, the Fellowship Hall, that's what it's called, will be filled with books, tapes, and other materials. Stacy and Lou and I are going to have stuff for sale. We'll be selling the usual stuff that we have, you know. Nothing destructive, so don't even ask.
As
seen on DJStore.tk. DJStore.tk. The Church of Kaweah is going to offer these things, especially the books and tapes that you're not going to find anywhere else. You know, doctrines of resistance, that kind of stuff. Now, one thing you got to know is there's plenty of RV parking, but no hookups. Lots of tent camping. We will have facilities open where you can shower, but it's first come, first serve. Pretty much if you get there after 6:30, you're getting a cold shower, but that's okay. Maybe it'll do you and your constitution some good. And due to the expected crowd, there's going to be a $50 registration fee. Simply sending this in or sending an email saying, hey, I'm going to be there, doesn't count. You won't get counted. Let's go. Okay, thanks. And, you know, and the reason we're doing it is, one, we've got to pay for feeding over 300 people when you count our regulars in.
We haven't done in the other 14 years.
Yeah, they haven't done it before. What do you mean?
They haven't done it before.
What are you saying?
Yeah,
and they always take a loss. So yeah, so this is a new thing that they're doing, and it's, and also you got to realize we're bringing in people from South Africa, we're bringing in Chuck Baldwin, and I don't know the actual pencil work on this one, but I know their speaking fees are pretty high. We've gone to other conferences, and just to see one speaker is $20, so the $50 isn't that big a deal. So if you send that in, and you got to have it in by September 24th, if you're one of the first 200, then you get to sit in the chapel, which is a little more comfortable. But you're not missing anything if you sit in the back. We'll have the big screen. I'll be working the camera. Lou will be working the camera. We'll do our best. The audio. We had some dropouts last year, but we'll work on it. This time we're in control of everything. We'll be doing the soundboard and everything. A free will offering will be taken up on Saturday evening and Sunday morning to help offset costs. We're also providing lunch on Saturday and Sunday. I think it's lasagna on Saturday and salads on Sunday. Maybe not. But what's really cool is Saturday evening from 9:15 to whenever, they'll be doing Civil War era dancing. I know I said Civil War, but we use that for just the general public. If we put the War of Federal Aggression, they'll be going, I never heard of that one. Period costume is encouraged. Don't show up dressed like Michael Jackson and expect to dance. We had that happen one year. Some local kid just showed up with the suit, the one glove. He was heartily escorted from the property. Lodging, you can look on there. There's places that will give you a little bit of a cut, but I'm here to tell you the cheapest price you're going to find is $85 a night. So if you got an RV, you got a camping tent, come up, just camp with us, you know. Couple, if you're a regular, I'll let you sleep on our floor. I won't even charge that much. No, I'm just kidding. But the phone numbers and stuff are in the flyer. You can call if you guys. I don't know if anybody wants the number now, but if this is going to be repeated or something, 559-561-4210. That's 559-561-4210. Or just go to thechurchatkaweah.org. thechurchatkaweah.org. That's thechurchatkaweah.org. And that's it. That's what it is there. It's going to be awesome. Now, last year we had some atheists that said they were going to come up and protest it. I've told you guys the story before. It's old news. And when they found out that we had shooting demonstrations and that most of us are armed in the church, you know, we wear our pistols around, we have a shooting range, they freaked out and said they weren't going to come. So this year instead they're going to have their own atheist party. They're going to have a little party where they sell their souls or you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. There'll probably be like 20 people show up to it. They're lost, too bad. It's just proof that there are ignorant and stupid people out there that are willing to just destroy themselves in spite of the Lord. They just hate the thought of someone telling them what to do, even if it's a divine being. They're willing to give give away their eternal soul just to be stubborn. It's like the little kid that bangs his head on the wall when he doesn't get in his way or holds his breath and passes out. The bad news is, though, is this is about your eternal life. So you need to make it to this conference. It's a direct order from High Commander Dutch Jones. You really should go out of your way to get here. It's a beautiful place. You can work it into a regular vacation. The weather's still nice at the time of year. In fact, I think the weather in the fall is perfect here. It's a beautiful place. And come camp with us. Come a little early. Help us out with setup. Stay a little later. We'll do some training. Last year, we had people here for almost a week, and we did a lot of shooting on the shooting range and more orientation of different things. Let's see here. Oh, I got a few more minutes here. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about these Christian doctors that went to Afghanistan and got murdered. I think there were 10 of them. People are like, around here going, oh, that's just terrible. Well, they died serving the Lord. That's glorious, if indeed they were Christians. And two, one guy had been there for 30 years. And three, this is a prime example of why we're not going to change a lot of these Muslims. We give them the opportunity to. And I'm sure these doctors, I think they were eye doctors, were doing a lot of good over there. And then these savages come in and kill them. But what's going to happen is the government's going to use this as another reason to keep murdering and bombing and doing all the stuff they do there, which will give, in effect, the terrorists more ammo. It was a strategic move on the part of the terrorists. They knew that it would outrage Americans, and maybe they were hoping it would get people to say, hey, let's pull out of there. But these people died doing what they wanted to do. I'm not saddened by any of this. They were shot execution style. They weren't tortured. I mean, there's no nice way to kill people. I mean, really. You know, Dr. Kevorkian aside. But I'm not all that upset about it. They died serving the Lord. The Lord led them there, and they did what they did, and the time ended. What I do hate about it is the way it's going to be exploited by the media. They're accused of proselytizing. So that's a key thing. That's what we need to focus on, that under Islam, under Sharia law, if you share Christianity, you can be killed. But yet they want to come here, and this is my point that I'm getting to. They come here, they demand to build mosques two blocks away from a national historical mourning site, a site of mourning. Whether Muslims did it or not, I'm not going to get into that argument with you people, but it just shows how we lay down for everyone, but yet they keep rigid standards for us. The way Mexico treats illegal aliens, the way Islam treats Christianity. There was another woman today, I think, stoned and shot today in Iran for adultery, supposedly. And we all know how that goes. Where's the man that was involved in the adultery? If she was having adultery with somebody, there was someone else complicit in the sin. Why isn't he being stoned? It's probably some husband that just wanted to divorce her. She wouldn't do it politely, and so he just accused her of hanging out with the pool boy or the chauffeur. Why was she stoned and killed alone? There is nothing that we see that we get the facts on. I'm not even sure a lady was actually killed. I mean, I don't trust anything coming in anymore. I barely trust what I see with my own eyes. But this double standard that we have in this nation, that we treat all of our visitors, all of our enemies, way better than we are treated if we were to go to their countries, it's ridiculous. And it's kind of a doctrine of war that you get just as nasty and as ugly as your enemy because you have to win. But just because you fight like a savage doesn't mean you have to live like a savage. So I have no problem with us tearing down all the mosques, saying you will not allow a mosque in Abu Dhabi or, you know, wherever you're at. So there will be no mosques in America. They don't allow new Christian churches in Israel. Why do we allow new synagogues in America? What's with this double standard that we allow ourselves to take? We're like America has become the battered woman of the world. We let the rest of the world beat the crap out of us, and then it's our fault. We're sorry. He loves me. I shouldn't have done that. And the rest of the world saying, it's your fault. You made us smack you around. And I'm not talking, John Wayne, go bomb them, nuke them till they glow kind of thing. I'm talking about just within our own borders. So you're an Islamist? You want to come here? No. You want to convert to Christendom? You can come here. You want to assimilate? Yeah, you can come here. There'll be a time period. If you don't assimilate in X amount of months or years, I don't know what's sufficient, you go home. We don't care if your nation's at war. We don't care if you're a political refugee. Fix your own nation. Buy all the guns you want from us, but we're not sending humans over there to deal with it. We're not sending Americans to die for your cause. But yet we let people come in. I mean, the only reason there's so many communists here is that we allowed them to exist. The only reason that the Muslims have taken over places, you know, strongholds across this country is that we begged them to come in with their money. Do you guys understand that? The process to become an American sometimes only requires that you have a certain amount of money in your pocket. That you have a business that you're bringing over. You know, it's not always, oh, you have to take this test, you have to do this job. How do you think all of bin Laden and his family got over, you know, were there 42 kids or something? It's because their daddy had enough money to get them into America. You know how many in Loma Linda, California, the Seventh-day Adventist Church really embraces the Palestinian cause? Which is okay, I don't have a problem with that, as long as it stays over there. But they would bring in all of these Palestinians to train them to be dentists and doctors and, you know, x-ray technicians. So they were all over the place prior to 9/11. Well, after 9/11, somebody finally started checking up on them, and half of them never even showed up for school. They paid the tuitions, they bought their books, they paid all the fees, and then they disappeared into the interior. And I'm not saying all of them were terrorists. But what's wrong with the Seventh-day Adventists that they wouldn't even... I mean, one guy, he came over here to be like a doctor of dental surgery, and he disappeared after 2 days. He ended up rooming with one of the accused 9/11 bombers down in San Diego. You guys might remember that. It could all be made up. But why is that mechanism there? How do they just get here and wander away? Why do we allow people access to our nation like that? Now you go back in history, remember we needed the coolies to build the railroad, the Chinese workers. They were actually cheaper to do that than to use slaves. Of course, you know, by that time they'd gotten rid of slavery. But the blacks didn't want to do the job, and there weren't enough of them, but they needed the coolies to go out. And it was cheaper to use coolies and let them die out in the conditions and cave-ins when they were doing tunnels and everything than it was to hire American workers. It always comes down to that. It's always about the money and corporate interests. Here it is. It's just people were getting... I believe the reason we got so many Muslims here is just the payola. The paperwork goes through a little faster, a little smoother, a little less critical eyes applied to their paperwork as long as they've got that... I think it was something like $150,000 earnest money or something to start a business. And then they start sponsoring each other and they all come over. What's wrong with this country that we're allowing mosques to even stand on our soil? Got a lot of emails saying, oh, this is great. You're talking about doing this to existing mosques. Why don't we, or to future mosques, why don't we do it to existing mosques? So don't get caught. I think it's a tactic of war that's justified because we are at war with the Nation of Islam. I don't mean the Nation of Islam, the people of Islam. The concept of Islam is at war with Christianity. And our own people have opened the front doors and let them in. So for me, I think spreading a little pig blood around is not going to... You know, why not? I'm not telling you to go out and beat up Arabs, beat up Muslims. Problem is, most of you don't know the difference between a Sikh, a Hindi, or whatever, and a lot of innocent people will get hurt, so that's not a good tactic to go on. I had a couple of lone wolf people saying, I want to go out and just smash some ragheads. Well, how do you know? Gotta be very careful. But making a political statement, or a statement of faith, by like throwing a dead pig over the fence at your neighborhood mosque? There was a kid, I gotta find the article here. He put a ham sandwich in his school next to some Ethiopians or kids from Mogadishu that were, you know, Islamo-nasties or something. And he got suspended from school for a hate crime for putting a ham sandwich next to a Muslim. It's equivalent to putting a noose up now. Put a noose up next to a black kid and you can go to prison. Now you put a ham sandwich next to a Muslim, you get expanded. And within a year, it'll be a felony to have ham within 3 blocks or something of a mosque. Watch. Mark my words. I seem to get things, I get lucky sometimes. I see these trends coming and I mention it. They'll probably ban, you know, pork products in America to keep our Muslim visitors, guests, happy. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But that's the equivalent of what's happening. Why little kids can't sing God Bless America or talk about Jesus in school because it might offend Muslim students. or agnostic or atheist students. I don't care if they're American or not. I don't care what paperwork they may or may not have filled out. It's a Christian nation, and if they can't handle it, they need to leave. If they're not going to become Christians, what are they doing here? No nation ever lasted that allowed foreigners to come in and keep their customs. Period. Now, if you occupy a foreign country, that's happened and said, you know, like Xerxes would go in, or Rome would even go in and say, hey, we'll even keep one of your kings, you can keep your customs. But the other way around, Rome fell because of the barbarians and the foreigners they allowed into their military and into their bureaucracy. That's the only reason it fell. They got really big, didn't have the manpower to sustain it. Empires fall because of that. Bible even tells us, don't marry your children off to foreign tribes because they will adopt their ways and their cultures and you will lose them. It says that. You do the research. I can't be doing this for you. I can't be holding your hand. All I can do is be a little glimmering reflection of the bright light of Jesus Christ and tell you these are the things you need to already know and be teaching your kids. You've got to teach your kids these things or the cause is lost. You know what Lou and I spent the morning doing? Watching really, well, one was really poorly made, but World War II videos. And teach. I use it as not to teach them the concept of, oh, hey, let's all go, you know, old glory into battle. To show them how even our culture has changed to where movies used to be made in a certain way and now they're different. Where moral character was portrayed in these movies and now, you know, perversion is promoted. The guy who doesn't want to fight is the hero. And I'm not saying one word. Oh, wow. That snuck up on me. Thank you, Lou. Good. Hello. Nobody's here. It's just us. No, he drove another vehicle. Well, we'll be back after the break. Stacy's here. I got to hug my wife. Talk to you later. Bye.
Saw you marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Rip, Johnny Rip. You fought all the way, Johnny Rip. I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, 'cause you couldn't help at all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Rip, Johnny Rip. You fought all the way, Johnny Rip. I saw General Lee raise a saber in his hand. Heard the cannons roar as you made your last stand. You marched into battle with the gray and the red. When the cannon smoke cleared, it took days to count the dead. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Rip, Johnny Rip. You fought all the way, Johnny Rip. When Honest Abe heard the news about your fall, the folks thought he'd call a great victory ball. But he asked the band to play the song Dixie for you, Johnny Rip, and all that you believe. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Rip, Johnny Rip. Yeah, you fought all the way, Johnny Rip.
Thank you. gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Thanks to the folks from Liberty Tree Radio for jumping in. Are they in? Are we on? Thank you. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We come to you Monday through Friday. We do it from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific time, but from 6 to 7 p.m. we jump onto the feed over there at Liberty Tree Radio because we enjoy it. We like it. Just heard we got a canceled order. Somebody was mad it was taking too long. I apologize, but it's just hard. We order the stuff in. This is not a 7-Eleven. Stacy's all freaking out. I'm trying to calm her down. I know we lost the money, but we'll make it up. The Lord provides. So anybody that wants to buy 4 gas masks and a compass and a $75 rifle scope, let me know. Because somebody just canceled the order after we bought it, and 3 whistles and some packing material.
And map, compass thing.
Well, give me a list of what it is, and we'll auction it off on the show live right now. We'll get the money back somehow. And Stacy's being laid off on the 15th, we find out. See, I remember I was talking about all the attacks. I refuse to be disheartened. I refuse to freak out about this. The Lord will provide. The Lord always provides. We're under attack, people. This is like I was saying towards the end of the last hour. This is a spiritual war, too. It's just as much physical as it is spiritual. Maybe more spiritual than physical. Maybe I'm underestimating that part. But I know that I'm suffering more slings and arrows in the spiritual realm and monetary realm. Like I said, we've been attacked financially. Somebody ripped us off at $300, and it affected our business. But maybe this is a sign we're not supposed to sell stuff online. I'm not going to freak out about it. Maybe we're not supposed to sell stuff. Maybe we're not cut out to be sutlers. So, that's just the way it is. I'm not going to freak out. Whatever the world throws at me, I know it could be a lot worse. I mean, I'm going to look back at the, I don't know. I can't read in the future. But when the windows are being shut out and we're surrounded by chi-coms, we'll be begging for this day. Why can't it be like that day we lost that sale? This will be nothing. We got to take these things, and we cannot stumble. We got to keep our stride going. And that's what this show is about. This is about the Christian militant attitude, worldview. Not attitude. Attitude sounds like, hey, man, I'm copping an attitude. But Christian worldview that comes from the militancy, the militant doctrine of the Bible. Now, I'm not talking fanaticism, Kool-Aid, suicide bombing, garbage like that. No, that's not what we're about. We're about sharing the true gospel and at the same time sharing some tactical and strategic information, reading some news, having a good time, doing a little bit of entertainment. I don't know if you're going to find a show exactly like this anywhere in radio. Go ahead, relax, take a shower or something, then come back on, cool off. Turn on the air conditioning, well, not air conditioning, but you know what I'm talking about. We can't sweat these little things, folks. We can't. That we're in it for a much bigger cause, and we are just little tools in the toolbox of the Lord. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to cry over things. I mean, all I know is I know what the goal is. The goal is to have a free land for my children to worship Jesus Christ. That's what my goal is. For me, I figure I'm spent. I'm done. I'm gone. I'm paying the price for the things I've done. I know Jesus Christ paid for all my sins, and I don't have to do that, but I'm talking about in the worldly view. I burned my candle at 5 ends, and this is what you get. But I'm going to give every ounce of my spirit, every ounce of my physical ability to make sure my son and daughter live a little freer than I do. Hopefully they'll live completely free, but I don't know what the Lord's plan is in this. And if we are courageous and faithful in the small things, like when we lose our houses, we lose our paychecks, I've been there. I'm not some radio guy off at some tower somewhere that gets paid, you know, more in a year than most of us get in our whole lives, just sit up here and gab that people, what people feed them to talk about. I'm one of you guys. In fact, I'm probably worse than most of you guys because I'm not as hardworking or as dedicated as you are to doing a lot of things. Sometimes I get too focused on the cause and I get tunnel vision. I neglect the things in my life. But then God kicks me in the head and I come back. I've lived in a car. You guys know that. I've shared that with you. Sometimes I prefer it. I've slept out under the stars in parks and mountains, people's backyards on their trampolines for weeks until I could get back at least on my feet again. So whatever's orchestrating this or who's ever orchestrating this attack on us, that's too bad. It's not going to falter us. I'm sorry a customer's angry it took too long to get their gas masks, but that's just the way it goes. We try to do the best we can with what we've got and then still maintain all the things we do. We're just like you guys. You guys go and do the grindstone 8, 10, 12 hours a day and then come home and have to mow your lawn and figure out a way to feed the kids, get them in bed, read them stories, have some quality time with them. It's no different for us. Those are the things that make life worth living, I think. I just hate it when somebody gets mad and says, I want my money back. You can have your money back. I don't know if it's in there or not, but we had saved up quite a little bit in PayPal we were going to use, and now it'll go for that. So like I said, if you guys want to buy some gas masks, they're $20 a piece. I don't know what the shipping is. They're like, that's the thing that's killing us, to be honest with you guys. I completely miscalculated shipping. You know, somebody will order $100 worth of stuff, and then it'll be, you know, it'll be like almost $20 in shipping. And it's bizarre to me because we have it shipped to us, and then we ship it to you. Some of the stuff doesn't drop ship because we order it in bulk. Like I said, maybe we're just not cut out to do this. Maybe this level of operation is not going to work. But those are the things that you learn in life. I remember once when I was in college, I was trying to find every which way I could make money. I was on the GI Bill. I was in the National Guard. I had a little part-time job working in a movie theater. But I needed a couple extra dollars to buy guns and the fun stuff in life. So I went out and I got me one of those ice cream bikes. I don't know if they have them that many places, but it's a three-wheeled bike, either in the back or the front. You push it around. You use dry ice to cool the product, and you sell it. I love doing it. But at the end of every week, I wasn't making any money, and my problem was there were too many poor kids in town that would just look at me, and they'd go, all I have is a quarter, and I'd give them a dollar ice cream. So what I figured to do is I went out, and I got a bunch of those Otter Pops. You know, I just bought like three or four boxes a day, because I would literally just go to a wholesale grocery place, get my dry ice there every morning at about 9 o'clock, because you don't sell ice cream before noon, right, in the summer, and then I'd throw it all in there and sell it. So I started getting Otter Pops, and what I was doing is I was giving the Otter Pops away to the kids that didn't have any money.
They sell ice cream at noon at
ice-creamaholic places eat ice cream before. Okay, Lou, you're a little good. Here, let me move your microphone closer so they can hear you. Speak up, Lou. Say something.
Something.
I don't know if you guys can hear him or not. But I didn't start making money until I got smart about it. You know, I was buying too much at first, then not enough, and then, you know, I was cutting my prices. I'm not a good businessman. I don't think that's my... I'm still not sure what it is I'm supposed to be doing in this life. I really have no idea. All the things that I'm good at, nobody pays for. I'm a great guy for sitting and listening to your woes and just telling you, you know, everything's going to be okay and keep going. I try not to give advice anymore.
You could volunteer at the retirement center.
I could volunteer at the retirement center. See, but that doesn't pay. I'd make a great retirement. I love listening to old folks talk. There's no money in that. And I'm not asking to get rich anymore. I gave up that. You know, the only way I'm going to get rich now is if I trip over a duffel bag full of heads and drug money. It's the only way I'm going to get rich. I've worked so hard, I can't work hard anymore. It's a weird world we live in. There's just no opportunity for... I would have made a good carnival barker. Maybe a 10-in-1 freak show guy that would get you to come into the tent to see the two-headed cow and all that kind of stuff. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. I don't know how people survive today sometimes. You know, a lot of people look at police and fire and go, oh, they're my heroes. They look at soldiers, oh, they're my heroes. You know who's a hero to me? A guy like Lewis's grandfather. This guy, Ted, at age like 9, lost his foot in a farming accident out here. Guy's worked every day of his life, and he's, what, 70 now? 71, 72? Guy's still working. He finally took a vacation this last month because he had to have a double hernia operation. That guy's a hero. That guy is a hero. And yes, even my stepfather. He may have been a lot of things, or still is, he's still alive. A criminal, drank too much, never saw him beat my mom. Never beat me when I didn't deserve it. Always had food on our table. Did a couple stupid things here and there, but he always bounced back, and he never abandoned us. He never walked away from us. He always made sure that we had clothes, a place to live, and if he had to break into a house for a couple nights and we sat in there out of the rain, that's what we did. I know what you're saying. You can't admire a guy like that. He took what he had, and he took on a family. He took on a woman with two sons that were in the house, and then a bunch of other kids that were hanging, you know, like orbiting around that would come and drop by. You don't see that character anymore. I definitely don't have that kind of character. It's hard for me. We're barely scratching to get by. Poor Lou here. I think he had a half a soda today, and he was all happy. But did you appreciate that half a soda?
Yes.
See, isn't that cool? That's what I'm trying to instill in him. Because I think this nation's headed for a time when it's going to make the little rascals look like Richie Rich. You know? The time of the salt mines might be returning. Although, I don't know. No one will actually be salt mines. It'll be something else. And it's tough. It's tough to survive. I know that. So what I try to do is I find my source of energy in Jesus Christ. I do. It doesn't matter. Everything I do is a Christian activity. I don't care if I'm changing a tire or off training at a pistol class. I'm doing it in the name of the Lord. That's where Coram Deo comes in. Coram Deo, in the face of God. And I fall. I have my sins that I love. I mean, I'm a fat guy. That's a sin. And you fat guys that don't want to admit that, you're lying to yourself. You know, I'm happy when I can put on clothes I haven't worn in a while and they fit a little less tight. A little victory over that sin. So I was chatting to some people in the chat room. I've been trying to eat healthy the last few days and I feel terrible. It's like an alcoholic going through the DTs. I've been eating fruit and vegetables and a little bit of chicken. And I am just thinking, oh, I need some fried beef. Oh, I want some Spam and potatoes fried up in a pan with lots of grease. That was killing me. That was being, I wasn't preparing my body to protect my family, and I've been trying lately to reverse that. We all have our shortfalls. I know you're probably thinking, this is a weird place for a Christian militia radio show to go on. He's talking about Spam. Everything we do as Christian militia members is a holy thing. Everything. You wives that clean up after your husbands and kids when the dad's away at work and the kids are away at school, that is a holy act. You dads that come home after 10 hours of listening to some idiot scream at you in a factory and still find time to mow the lawn and fix the things around the house and get the honeydews done, that is a Christian act of love for your family. Everything we put our hands to should be a Christian act. And I know it's not easy. And that way you only put your hands to do things that are holy because you'll be thinking, hey, I'm an instrument of Christ and look what I'm doing with these hands. It's not right. It's not righteous. And I'm not going to go into those. You know what they are. You know the evil things that lure weak, especially Christian men and a lot of women into it. And it's the same thing with your pocketbooks. What do you spend your money and your time on? And here I'm going to say something that's going to make a lot of people mad. If you can't afford the things that your family needs, and you've got that 12-pack of beer and a carton of cigarettes, something's wrong with your priorities. That makes a lot of people mad. This Sunday, before I went to church, it was about 7 in the morning, I put a thing up on Facebook, said, get up and get your butt to church. And people were like, oh, well, I'm going fishing, and that's my church. And I went off on this tangent about, no, we are commanded to fellowship. Doesn't have to be a building, doesn't have to be a denomination, but you should set aside time on Sunday to sit with fellow Christians or people that are searching and discuss the Creator with them. Discuss the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, what He did for your sins, how He paid for you. I mean, even Jesus said you don't spend the whole day not, you know, if your ox gets in a ditch, you get it out. I'm not a ridiculous fool like that about it. I'm not a Sabbath keeper. But you've got to set aside time to do these things, and everything that you do, you should do in a holy manner. So if it's taking one of the... What's that company that sells those lowers that you can machine, the paperweights?
KT Ordnance.
If you get a KT Ordnance device, well, it's not a device, paperweight, and you machine it up. Someone just honked a horn. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, that vehicle right there. What's going on there? Well, lean over and pull the curtain open. Honking at a dog. It's a blue car. There's some dog down there. I don't know what that is. Keep an eye on it, though. Move the curtain so you can see. They're down at the cemetery. Made me lose my train of thought. But everything we must do as Christians first. Well, I'm getting some comments here, finally. I'm not looking in the chat room yet. I'm sorry, guys. I'll get back in there. Let me go back up to the top here. See, people are sending me instant messages. I don't know. Is this another birther thing? What is that? So don't lose focus. Don't lose heart. We're all getting nailed financially. We're all getting nailed at work. I mean, there's nothing worse than working in an ungodly place, but you go there every day because you need the paycheck. I don't know. Somebody sent me something about even Obama's mom didn't have a birth certificate. Okay, I got Annie Oakley. Thank you, Annie Oakley. I saw that. Okay. But folks, stay focused. Stay focused on why we're in this. We got to be in this like the Muslims are in it. And I'm not saying they're the only enemy. They're in it for the long haul. They think 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 years. They think epics, an epoch of time. To get their mission done. We as Christians have abandoned that kind of long haul strategy. We as Christians, and I think it's because of the way we're raised in America, I blame Sesame Street, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. Everybody wants instant results, and you guys know that. You know that completely. But it's not just the 30-second soundbite ADD kids. It's as a nation, we want, every 4 years, we want change. And we're willing to vote anybody in as long as it's different than the last 4 years. Look at what madness that brought on. And no, I'm not asking for a king to last, you know, for his lifetime. A Cromwell now and again would be nice, though, wouldn't it? An Oliver Cromwell, wouldn't that be great? I think it would. Somebody who could come in and straighten this country out, and if, it, you know, he rules by our approval. Like this thing they did with term limits for the president, you know, and term limits for this, term limits for that. I understand the philosophy behind that, but how are you going to get anything done if we keep changing course every 4 or 8 years? I think jerking around our system of government that way is what allowed them to do what they've done. They give you one thing in one hand, and then they slap you in the back of the head with the other one, and that was the term limit thing, especially on the president. Not a big fan of term limits. If we had a statesman like Colonel Davy Crockett, I have no problem with him serving multiple seats until he dies. You know, multiple terms. A righteous man who made a mistake on his own. Look up the Horatio Bunce affair with Davy Crockett. Google Davy Crockett, Horatio Bunce. I believe it's B-U-N-T-Z. Great story. I love the story about how he holds Davy Crockett accountable for something he did in spending. But this nation has been headed down this path for a long time, and I can. It's easy to look back. I know that. It's easy to look back and say, well, you know, we... Well, hello, Ryan. Let me do this and answer. We did this to ourselves. Now, granted, I wasn't alive when the Federal Reserve went into place. I wasn't alive when the War of Federal Aggression went the wrong way. But as a people, we did this because of the way we think, and it's a degeneration of thought processes. You wouldn't believe how many people that I'll share something on the radio with, and I'll give them the exact quote and reference to something I said, you know, when I can. Sometimes I say, well, I just pulled it out of the air. And then they'll go, oh, well, can you look that up for me? And the people don't want to look it up. I've had people say, no, you're lying, that's not true. I go, really? Well, here it is.
Let me Google that for you.
Yeah, let me Google you. Let me Google that for you. What is it? Yeah, there's a place. We always send people to Google. Somebody's asking me what today's topic is in instant messaging. Same thing it is every day. Tyranny. And how to deal with it. Well, the point of today's show, and I'm going to talk about it, and I'm sorry I took the roundabout way, but I got kind of ambushed when Stacy came in and is freaking out about losing money, which is okay. I mean, she's, you know, I put too much pressure on her being the only breadwinner in the family. But I wanted her to calm down, so I lost it. But the only way we're going to save this nation the only way. There's no other way. There's no shortcut. There's no pill. There's no 30-second commercial. There's no 12-step program. The only way is if we change our hearts first. If we take control of self-government ourselves first, become good Christian men and women, conduct our lives that way, and train our children that way, somebody's asking for the call-in number. I haven't given out the call-in number. It's 559-561-8225. I'm just going to have this guy go. Hang on a second, folks. This guy's asking me how to listen. It's like I thought he was listening, but he's not. He just stumbled across me, probably Googled something. Probably Googled, like, raging Christian militia maniac, and he got my name. But unless we change our hearts and our families first, nothing is going to change. Nothing will be lasting. There will be no victory over tyranny. And people say, there are people I get emails, they're like, why are you saying this? We can win without God. No, you can't. How's it been working out for you so far? How have you been doing? I'm doing, trying to stretch my back here, so if I move in and out from the mic, don't freak out. It's not like an interference. There can be no external change without internal change first. And the good news is it doesn't take a whole lot of people to make change. Look how few communists in the beginning took over this nation. And under great peril to themselves. I mean, remember a time when they used to hang communists in the South? Remember a time when communists would get clobbered in New York City, Chicago? Now they're the ones doing the clobbering and the hanging, right? I know it's a kind of an exaggeration, but you get my point. The lunatics have taken over the asylum because we handed them the keys. Because we were not smart enough, trained well enough, concerned enough, unselfish enough to care about our brothers and sisters to not hand over the keys to the asylum. All we cared about was ourselves. It was beneficial for us to hand the keys over, wasn't it? Well, this means I will have a high place in the enemy's new regime if I give them the keys and play along. Well, eventually, just like Hitler, he cleans house. The enemy will clean house, and all of you that cooperate, all of you that don't act one way or the other and just go along to get along, will be purged from the system. Study any tyranny, Marxism, communism, fascism, capitalism. The new ones always eat the old ones alive until when they're of no use to them. Cast them into the pit. Even Rome, when it became Christian, what was the first thing they did? They started throwing Romans and pagans to the lions. They didn't learn anything, did they? Here's the new boss, same as the old boss. That's why I don't like a lot of organized religion. Was it Constantine? Constantine that brought Christianity in? They didn't change anything, they just changed the target. And the Christians that took over were no better than the old ones. They just wore a new label because, hey, this is what the master says we got to wear. The head of state said I got to be this. Focus on your family. I've always let focus on the family. You look at the founding fathers. Look at, you know, they had their problems, especially like Benjamin Franklin and stuff. But they knew the key. They knew that without a strong foundation, everything above that foundation was going to fall apart. So what I'm asking you today is, sure, make sure your web gear is intact. Mine's right next to me. Make sure your pistol's clean. Mine's right here. Make sure your rifle leaning on the wall right here is lubricated, loaded, sighted in. But do all of that from the standpoint of, who are you doing this for? Why are you doing this? Are you doing this for the greater good of His kingdom? Christendom? People don't like that word, Christendom. No, I'm not a crusader. But we have to have that kind of attitude. The one thing that I've thought that I always lacked in the Christian warrior's vernacular is we do not have the equivalent term of jihad, which of course just means the struggle. It's so easy to be a Christian in America today. You go to church, you put that little fish sticker on your car, the little emblem. You tithe 10% exactly to your church and demand you get a receipt because it's a 501c3 and you want to deduct that on your taxes. I don't even want to go there. You send your kids to all the really nifty programs at the church so they get out of your hair so you can sit there and try and stay awake on a Sunday morning. Well, he dares not, the pastor or preacher or, God forbid, some lesbian up there telling you how to live your life based on a moral compass that isn't necessarily based in the Bible. And God forbid they never talk about changing anything in the world and accepting and loving everyone. That's what they want you to do. Not being discriminant in who you associate with, where you spend your money. I mean, how many of you seek out Christian companies to spend your money with? I know I didn't. I found out there's like a Christian hardware company that makes like drywall and drywall material and compounds and stuff. We got a guy up here who's a contractor and he's a baby Christian, but he goes, yeah, I just buy from these guys. It's a little more expensive, but I'm only going to buy from Christians. I mean, I don't have a lot of things I buy, but I try to always buy from people that I know support the cause. Am I correct? How many, you know, I'm not talking about boycotting anyone. I'm talking about promoting others. How many people actually know their pastor and know what their philosophy and doctrine is? You ever had your pastor and his family over for dinner and asked them some hard-hitting questions? About politics, about salvation, about the rapture, about what's happening, what's a Christian's role in the world? Should a Christian get involved in politics? What did Jesus say about it? Do you even know? Well, if you immersed yourself in the Word, you'd know. We're going to be back after the break. This is it's Poker Face, isn't it? I like this acoustic. We'll be back after the break.
Never let you down. time a tragedy. I just want some answers. Set us free. I say hallelujah.
Who will deny that Christ is the head of the church? And what human power has it? Impious presumption to invade his kingdom, usurp his authority, lay sacrilegious hands upon his crown rights, and with a state constitution flaunted in his face, proclaim the right of the state to challenge his ambassadors and put them under civil disability, nay, more, to assert the right to say to his messengers of life and salvation, you are commissioned by your head and Lord to go preach the gospel to every creature, but you must first come and comply with the conditions prescribed by the state and obtain from some blasphemous, drunken, Christ-despising, heaven-defying civil magistrate the authority to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. To the superficial thinker, this may seem to be putting the case too strongly, but it is only the inevitable logic of facts. The state cannot confer the right to preach the gospel. Therefore, it cannot take it away. Christ is the head of the church, God over all, and blessed forevermore. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth, and he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for...
Dutch, Jones, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program on Liberty Tree Radio and on U Broadcast and a bunch of other places. I don't even try to keep track anymore. I'm getting emails and feedback from people that are hearing it. People are recording it and uploading it and doing all kinds of stuff. If you want to hear the archives, you have to go to dutchjones.tk. That's DutchJones.tk. DutchJones.tk, and there's a place where it says listen to past shows, or I don't know how Lou worded it, but there's archives there, and you can download those. You can download the music now too that we play.
Every song.
Every single song you've uploaded at the forum. If you go to the forum and there's a little,
you have to sign up.
You have to sign up to download it. To see it. It's for members only, and you can download the music. And if you have music that you think we should have, drop me an email. I will find a way to get it. I don't know how. Can you send a song through email now? I have no idea.
Just one.
So if you have a song you want us to play and it fits, you know, go ahead. Send it to us. We'll use it. This is the community campfire, folks. And break out that ukulele and the banjo and we'll start singing whatever you want to sing. I'm just trying to share information, just trying to boost spirits, and trying to get people to work in the same direction, even if it's just a little nudge here and there. That's what it's all about. And we've been talking about that for the last half hour, actually the last hour and a half, trying to get people to motivate in the same direction. And I say it all the time. I'm not looking for sheep. I'm looking for sheepdogs. Now is a testing time. Now is a period when the heat's getting turned up a little bit and we're facing some of these things. You know, Stacy just said somebody just withdrew another, was it the $300 one or one of the small ones?
$2.
Yeah. People are, we shut down our card, debit card, and people are still making withdrawals on it somehow. It's getting weird. It's really, really getting weird. I don't know. It could be PayPal. Somebody may be hacking PayPal. Could be the enemy. I don't think we're that important. We're such small potatoes, and we only move a couple $100 worth of stuff a month, if that. So now more than ever, your donations are needed to keep us on the air. We appreciate those of you that have been contributing. But if everybody else just kicks in, I mean, if we've got 1,000 people downloading songs a month, if everybody just kicked in a buck, think what we could do. This is the third time we've changed the account, right?
I'm probably going to have to close out the whole thing.
Yeah, just close it all out. Degauss, you know, just like, you know, sometimes when a computer just isn't working right, just get a new hard drive. Just go down there and just say, it's done. Start a new one. You guys can't seem to keep it protected. I still have this. Are you using it for off-track betting? Are you betting on the ponies? No, that's not it. She's all sad over there. Everybody pray for Stacy. These are the things that you can't let get you down. These are the things that you can't let stumble you or take you out of the battle. You know, we got food. We got a place to sleep. That's all I care about right now. We'll keep doing what we can. Go ahead and play another break. I got to take care of something here. You should always be ready to play a break, Lou. Come on, Lou. Oh, this is costing valuable airtime. The sponsors aren't going to be happy. I don't hear anything. We'll fix it. There we go.
Let me walk, bless the Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to that land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the low, fill my way every day with love, fill my way every day with love.
Okay, we're back. This is Dutch Jones. We just had to take a little bit of time out there. We've got about 20 minutes left, and we're talking about today, right now. What are you doing? No matter what it is you put your mind to, your heart to, you've got to focus on it. And do it as if you were doing it for the Lord. I don't care if it's mowing your lawn. I don't care if it's working for some great big foundation to make sure burn kids get pony rides once a year or something. Whatever it is. Apply yourself to it. And what that'll do is that'll give you strength, too. Because if you know you're working for a greater cause, you won't take it so personal. And you won't get upset when it doesn't go right the first 100 times. You don't learn anything from success usually. Most people don't. That's easy. Being spoon-fed's easy. You learn from making mistakes. I can honestly tell you, most of the good things I've learned in life, the best lessons have been because I screwed up or something bad happened to me. And you can't let the other side win by letting it tear you down and make you fall apart and become non-functional or give up. That's what they want. Like what's going on right now with our financial situation. We just realized somebody probably hacked our PayPal account. Lou's working on that right now to change passwords and everything out. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop. And it's not about the money. It's not about, I don't care if I have money. So what if I can't do a radio show for a couple weeks? I enjoy doing this show and I think it's a good cause, but in my family, feeding my family, housing my family is more important right now. So I'm not going to fall apart because of this. So who's ever attacking us, whether it's random or focused, I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing, the real important things that I do for the Lord. And if you think me getting on here and gabbing every day is all that I'm doing, you're woefully mistaken, my friends. Actually, I should say my enemies. This is the tip of the spear out here trying to recruit and motivate. It's what I do behind the scenes that is more important, preparing the hearts and minds of people that I can touch. That'll have a much more lasting impact. People will forget this radio show in a year or two if it were to disappear. They'll catch on to somebody else. They'll listen to somebody who's a little better at doing it, a little better signal. But what matters is what we do in the lives of our families and how we train them to handle these type of crises and how they respond to that. Because what's going to happen if we fall apart because some health bill went through and it makes us mad and we get all upset and we don't want anything to do with life and we pull out of it? What's going to happen when the bullets are flying? How are we going to handle a real dangerous stress like that? You know, versus the guy you voted for didn't get elected and you throw a hissy fit and fall apart. We need to be strong for one another. Because Christians are people. We're just having to be chosen people. We're not perfect. We're forgiven. But we have to fight together and stand shoulder to shoulder. Thank you, Orlin. I do these shows not to glorify me or to get you to donate money so I can buy Lou the nicest new Air Jordans or something. I do it because I want to plant little nuggets in your brain that have been planted in my brain. I want to share that with you. I want to plant seeds. Let somebody else water them. Let somebody else till them. But that's what we do here. And together, we got to keep planting these seeds. We got to keep fighting in the same direction. We can't let these things tear us up and take away our will and our abilities to fight. Because I'll tell you something. Once you get in that downward spiral of everybody hates me, I should just go eat worms, this isn't fair, you're not going to be worth anything to anyone. You're just going to endanger people and your life is going to suck. To use the vernacular of the day. I think this made-up psychobabble depression thing, it stems from that. It just stems from spiritual and physical battles that you keep losing because you don't see that they're small. But you make them bigger than they are. You're tilting at windmills, and when the windmill doesn't tilt, you go, oh, it didn't tilt, I should never try again. You can't be that way. You have to be courageous in everything you do. You have to be courageous in everything you do. You got to realize that every penny you set aside, every camping trip you take, every time you sit down your kids and talk to them about persevering and having strength, will all be wiped away if the one time something bad happens, the IRS comes for you, you turn up into a ball and start crying and rocking back and forth in the corner. That's what your kids are going to remember. They're not going to remember the 5-6 years of training that you tried to give them on how to be strong and stand your ground. When the first time you get something wrong in your life, you hit a speed bump, you start chattering and hiding and not wanting to do anything ever again. You can't do that. You can't. And this is just as important to Lou and to me and Stacy in this room as it is to anyone that can hear this. Don't let the little things defeat you. That's how Satan wins, in the little things. Otherwise, he would just appear in Times Square and start zapping people, right? No, Satan wins in the little things that we explode, the splinter in your foot, the rock in your shoe that keep you from taking that journey of 100 miles because you're irritated right now. And you say, well, what's the use in taking the shoe off? What's the use in taking the splinter out if just another mile I'm going to have another one? That's how Satan wins. When I was younger, I would get angry and punch walls and punch people and drive cars over people's lawns and spray paint vicious things everywhere because I didn't know how to deal with these things. I gave up on just about everything in my life because it wasn't going my way. And you know, I just gave victory over the evil side. Even though I wasn't a Christian at the time, I was a human being and still a creation of God and someone that God loved very much, even though I either ignored or pretended not to know him. But I was still giving victories to Satan because I would just go, well, what's the point in me pursuing this career if every time I try to do something I get fired? That's why you fast forward from when I was a teenager doing radio, put all that other stuff in the middle I did, and now I'm doing radio, which is the one thing I really love. I let all the things, people, I remember my first wife's father sat me down, you'll never make enough living as a radio disc jockey. What do you make now? Go and make $3.50 an hour. That's how long ago it was. You can't marry my daughter. You have to do something else. So I joined the Army. Actually, I joined the Air Force and then switched to the Army. Another long story on the delayed entry program. I let other people take control of my destiny. I should have stayed in radio this whole time. Who knows what great things I could have done? Who knows what would have happened to me if I had maybe been able to change hearts and minds in a bigger, better way? I don't know. I don't even know if I'm good at this. All I know is that I feel right doing this. I feel good sharing with you what's on my heart. Sharing with you the things that I learned from other people. And I may mess them up. I may not get the facts right. And that's what you guys are here for. I've got some pretty amazing stories to share with you guys about how God has worked in my life. And I'm not unique. I'm sure you have just as many stories. But I'm not going to stop doing that because I stubbed my toe in the darkness. And we have to have that same attitude in freeing this country from tyranny. We have to bend over backwards, put ourselves into harm's way, tie ourselves up into pretzels, whatever it takes to stand in that gap. What would have happened if the guys that were on their way to Lexington and Concord started thinking this way? Well, what's the point in going? Some of us are going to get killed. We may not even live to see the end of this war that we're starting here today. We shouldn't be doing this. Somebody else should be doing it. What? Why are we taking this risk? I got a wife and kids at home. It's the what ifs and the why nots and the just becauses that keep us from doing things. I don't know if anybody's ever been a runner, but I used to run in high school and, of course, in the Army, and I'd run half marathons and stuff like that. And there gets a point in the race when your brain starts to try and debate with your body over why you're doing this. And the brain starts to win because it has an intellect that your body doesn't. Your body just does what it's supposed to do. It gets in a groove. If you're a runner or a cyclist or anybody that's ever put their body to the test to the extreme like that, your muscles keep going until they shut down. They would if it weren't for the brain going, oh, just pull over. Just fall down on the side of the road. Somebody will pick you up. Slow down a bit. You don't have to get over this next hill. The brain starts to negotiate the realities of life while your body stays goal-oriented. And I think I look at that as the soul, too. You know, I wasn't a Christian when I ran, but I'm sure it would have helped if I had been. Don't let your brain convince your soul and your body otherwise. Because where does your intellect come from? Your own selfishness. Your own desire to be comfortable, I'll admit it. Right now, this is the one thing I look forward to every day. Sitting in this darkened room, it's getting dark now as the days get shorter. You know, dirty, musty smelling law books, sitting across from Lou. This is what I look forward to every day, and when I don't do it, I feel like I've lost something. I gotta see what that. We got a pickup down there now, Lou. Getting a lot of visitors today. Whole lot of visitors. There must be. Don't know who that is. Passing through. Or we're one of the few places right now that are still green because we water our cemetery and our playground. The people that come by, they see the turkeys and they just fall in line, they stop and check it out, which is cool. Just always got to keep an eye out the window. See, I can do this, and I can also keep an eye on that. Now this guy's driving all over the place. What is that? There must be turkeys or deer down there. We have free-range turkey and free-range deer in the facility here in our church. It's hard to look through binoculars with glasses on. And I think that's what they're doing. I think these are flatlanders. They go, whoa, look at all them turkeys, Edna. Woo, gobble, gobble, gobble. And they let the kids out and chase them, and then the kids get thrashed by the turkeys. I used to be a flatlander, so I can make fun of them. Willpower is what is needed, and wars are won in the will. That is correct, Warlin. Yeah, Olimar said, even if the show goes off the air, the movement still goes on. I would hope so. I'd hate to think I was the keystone or the linchpin of this movement. Woo, that would be kind of sad. Oh, man. I liked what W.C. Fields once said. He goes, I would never belong to an organization that has such low standards they would allow someone like me to be a member. So if I'm in some way that important to the cause that it would cease to exist after I punch my ticket or move on to bigger and different things, that wouldn't have been much of a cause now, would it? It's like when people leave the church, they always do this. This church ain't going to last 3 months without me tithing and doing everything I do around here. Church has been here since like 1964, and they've had hundreds of people say that. I don't know what the plan for the church is, but I've been here for 4 years, and I've seen four or five people do that, and the church still goes on. We still struggle and find ways to go on. Because it's not about what you or I want, it's about what God's will is for the movement, for the cause. And that's a theme we can't forget. And I try to do that on Mondays. I don't know if you guys have picked up on this. I always get all touchy-feely and mushy and spiritual on Mondays because I want to set the tone for the week. I think just like, you know, I go to church on Sunday and I try to set the tone for the week. And then I have my regroup on Wednesday when we do the Bible study. You know, I remember when I was in a discipleship when I first became a Christian. It was every single day. And then when I came up here 4 years ago when Warren Lee was alive, Warren Lee Campbell, every day I went to Bible study or church. Some people say, well, that's fanaticism. No, I was just so in tune. And now there's a couple days in a row go by that I don't even look at the Bible. And that's when I start to hurt, physically and emotionally and spiritually. Abiding in the light, abiding in the truth is where it's at, folks. And I want that for you guys. I want you guys to have that sensation, that feeling, because we're headed for some pretty bad times. Even if these aren't biblical, like I don't think we're into any kind of end times, rapture type stuff. You know, guys know my philosophy on that if you've been listening for more than a couple days. We're headed for some bad times. The stuff they're pulling with North Korea looks like Gulf of Tonkin 2. You know, all these battles over mosques in America are coming to a head. It could be any one thing that is decided to be pushed to the forefront that the New World Order will use to make our quality of life a little less pleasant here in America. Let's put it that way. People forget. Just like I said, the attention span of America is short. You guys don't even remember having to push cars because of the false oil embargo, right? How many of you remember that? I was alive for it. I remember my dad having to push a car. I remember odd, even days to get fuel. I remember unemployment outrageous that my father couldn't find a job to save his life. I remember all that stuff. And it's going to get worse because the way the cycles of man go. Our empires grow and fall. Wax and wane, to use biblical terms. And we're not going to get through this if we don't have the character. Because, I mean, I look at these 80-year-old people today and I think, man, what have you been through? I don't think, what a burden. They shouldn't drive. Oh, they're annoying. They talk too much. I think, oh, the things they've seen. And then you go the generation before the octogenarians that we have now. People that were alive in the century before last. The things they had to deal with, and the things today that we whine about. Oh, I can't get the stupid phone company on the line. They're charging me an extra 35 cents for this and that, and we go nuts. And people just two generations ago had things like, oh, here come the locusts. We won't eat. We'll lose the farm in a matter of an hour because the locusts are going to destroy our crop. How many people today have ever had to face something like that? Now people are facing financial ruin. I don't want to belittle that, but a lot of that has to do with the choices they made. And I'm not one of these people that blames everybody for, you know, oh, you made your own bed, get in, you know, you lie in it. I'm not going to do that. But we were so busy keeping up with the Joneses and so busy feeding the credit monster, we forgot how just to live. How to survive. How to handle real crises. You know, how many families fall apart when one person dies in it? Now think about, like, my great-grandparents. There were like 14 kids in their family and they lost 7 or 8. They moved on. They kept moving. And they didn't devalue life. In fact, we devalue life. We dismiss life today, you know, on a grand scale, like with abortion and stuff like that, and the way we stockpile our old people in warehouses. But complete empires, you know, families fall apart over one person dying, and then they all come in like piranha and feeding frenzy over things. Families aren't about love anymore. And that's another direct result of walking away from Jesus Christ. You can no longer leave a legacy to your children without the government coming in and taking 50% of it, so the kids have to sell everything. They've done such a great job of destroying us, and we've helped them in a lot of it. I'm certain only with the Lord's help can we get that back. You know, when you listen to, like, the intelligence report, they run that Patriot poem. You know, you pay yearly rent on a land you thought you owned. They've taken away our rights. They've made us pay for it. Then they blame us for it. And then they demand more. They're evil and they're vile and they should not be honored. What should be honored is the sacrifice that God made through His Son Jesus Christ for you. And do not belittle that sacrifice. Do not be a fool. Do not turn it away. Do not blaspheme the gift. Because once you accept that gift, and once you build your foundation on that, and that alone, you will do great things. You will be capable of amazing miracles, but only because He has chosen you to do those things. I want this to work, folks. I want us together to live in a free nation. I want our children to look back on us and not mock us and shame our names and deny our names because we did nothing. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I do what I can. I suffer the attacks that are minor. And I keep bringing this message to you, and I'm so glad I can do it. And I'm so thankful to Liberty Tree Radio. I was going to send money over to them, but somebody just emptied our account again. So, folks, we do what we can. And we got to do it together. Because remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. And unless we decide to serve in His army, we serve in vain. I will join you tomorrow. We won't have Liberty Tree Radio, but we'll have 2 hours of less touchy-feely, more practical, tactical. Check out the website. Make a donation if you can. And above all, pray for us here. We need your prayers right now. Thank you. Good night. And have a pleasant tomorrow.